The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Lily Defo
and Baba Otu.
In the headlines, Ghana Burkina Faso Port Health Center at Hamile lacks personnel to scrutinize entry of animals and people into the country. Government reacts to CJA concerns. DCE for AHFO ANU staff Gabriel Berma apologizes over his outburst. AU targets improved and sustained agriculture. And 2013 Kwame Nkrumah Scientific Award winners receive $100,000 each. Such a summary with Baba Otu.
There are currently only two trained environmental health and meat inspectors at the Hamile Port Health Center, which monitors the entry of animals and people in and out of the country through the Upper West region. The Deputy Environmental Health and Meat Inspector in charge of the facility, Amin Idrisu, told Radio Ghana that apart from inadequate resources, the port is also in a deplorable state. Government says it is putting in place measures to address concerns raised by the Committee for Joint Action that the country is going through difficult times. The Deputy Minister of Information and Media Relations said this in an interview with Radio Ghana. The District Chief Executive for AHFO ANU South, Gabriel Berema, has apologized for his unfortunate outburst at a gathering of health workers in his district a couple of weeks ago. In a statement, Mr. Berema reiterated his early apology to government, the chiefs and people of AHFO ANU South, and all Ghanaians who have been offended by his outburst. And member state of the African Union said it will make agriculture and food security its major priority this year. This is to give meaning to the 10th anniversary of the adoption of a comprehensive Africa Agriculture Development Program. The immediate past chairperson of the AU and Prime Minister of the Federal Republic of Ethiopia, Haile Mariam Desalegn, said this at the 22nd ordinary session of the AU in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information. The news now in detail. The Hamile Port Health Center in the Lambusie Kani district of the Upper West region, responsible for the surveillance of the entry of both human and animals into the country through the Burkina Faso border, is in a deplorable condition. Aside the leaky nature of its roof, the facility lacks adequate staff. Currently, there are only two trained environmental health and meat inspectors overseeing its operations. The Deputy Environmental Health and Meat Inspector in charge of the facility, Amin Idrisu, made it known during the district's 2013 Annual Health Performance Review Conference at Lambusie. Gertrude Degenu has sent this report.
The conference, attended by stakeholders, assessed the performance of healthcare delivery in the district during the period under review, with the aim of adopting the relevant strategies to overcome the challenges affecting quality health services. In a PowerPoint presentation, Mr. Amin said due to lack of quarantine facilities coupled with the ill-equipped nature of the center, people and animals entering the country are often referred to other health centers for medical checkups. He lamented the existence of numerous unapproved routes in the border town, which enables foreigners with goods to troop into the country without going through the mandated medical checks. The acting district director of health services, Mrs. Rebecca Alabila, cited lack of means of transport for nurses to effectively carry out community outreach programs as a major challenge impeding health promotion and education in the district. She said inadequate staffing, especially midwives, is a major difficulty facing the district. Mrs. Alabila added that despite some successes chalked up by the district, it recorded two maternal deaths last year. The acting director appealed to government and other stakeholders to help address some of the challenges that are hindering the attainment of the MDGs relating to health. Mrs. Alabila presented a plaque citation and an amount of 10,000 Ghana cedis to the Chibogo Chips compound for emerging the third best chips zone in the country. In a message, the regional director of health, Dr. Adlai Adams, asked health practitioners to be professional in the discharge of their duties.
That was Gertrude Degenu's report.
Government says it is concerned about the issues raised by the Committee for Joint Action that the country is going through difficult times. The Deputy Minister of Information and Media Relations, Murtala Mohammed, speaking to Radio Ghana on Behind the News, said government is putting measures to address the challenges.
But we have also provided solutions through which those challenges can be overcome. And we have stated palpably that the challenges that we are facing now are but for temporary. We are very convinced that the kind of economic measures that are put in place, these are challenges that we will overcome. Mindful of the enormous challenges that many countries across the globe are facing, mindful of the global economic challenge, we still are able to weather the storm. So we are so much concerned. And that is why His Excellency the President himself has taken the initiative, first and foremost directed that all his ministers and deputy ministers should lose 10% of their salary.
Right.
It's not like in the past where we were asked to wear belts by the very people who didn't even have belts for. His Excellency the President has directed for the first time. His Excellency the President has also said ministers, deputy ministers and government appointees should take the full responsibility of paying their utility bills, light bills and water bills. These are some of the measures that in as much as we know that we are at a difficult time, when we are in difficult times, yes, these are measures that we have to do, and we must take the lead, putting
right.
in the necessary measures to overcome those challenges. And that is precisely what this government is doing. One thing I can assure, and many other people, is that, look, these challenges we are facing, inshallah, we are convinced they are but for a temporary. We are so convinced that at least the signals are very...
That was the Deputy Minister of Information and Media Relations, Murtala Mohammed.
An NGO, Free Your Mind Movement, says the passage of the Plant Breeders Bill will spell doom for the country. The executive director of the group, Yao Poku Dankwa, says the bill is a conduit for the introduction of genetically modified organisms, GMO foods, into the country. He says the cultivation of GMOs is an alteration in the natural way of producing crops, and the effects of such measures can be dangerous, saying it is better to hold the introduction of a legislation that will help with this implementation in Ghana. Mr. Poku Dankwa spoke to Radio Ghana on the sidelines of the group's meeting with members of the Forum for Former Members of Parliament.
The GMO foods are not natural, in the sense that when you manipulate one gene from one organism and implant it on another to create a new species, therefore they're taking it away from nature. It's because of this that we're saying that the whole idea, God did not want it so. A man is saying that with knowledge now, this is what we're going to do, and therefore we've done it. But more importantly, let us look at it that the conspiracy behind it, feeding a world with this kind of food for profit. Because that is the main intention. Whether to kill you later, or to do whatever, then to, that is secondary to them. The Deputy Minister of Agri, Hassan Yakubu, has said time and time again that the introduction of the Plant Breeders Bill is not a conduit for the introduction of GMO food. Are you saying you are still not convinced about this? It is not peculiar to Ghana. It's in all countries where GMO is being introduced. So in the long run, we all find ourselves doing the same thing, so that it is not to be taken on personal matters like, oh, our scientists at CSIR, they have done this and therefore, no. Because they themselves are also being touched on by the same forces that have introduced themselves in the country to take control of our food production. Because more or less, they are working hand in hand. For them, they cannot come and sell their pretended disease. But when by the time they get here, everything is okay. Oh, in Ghana, you can serve it. Then it's a springboard for them to come in and take control of their market. Because after all, CSIR, how many of the seeds do they have? The greater ones are coming. And if there is no good taking, they may be used as agents for these. International multinational corporation.
Do you have any information as to GMO foods can give you specific diseases?
Specifically, they are where they have been any scientific anything. So whatever anybody says is speculation. Yes, because they have suppressed everything that should go with it. But then, these days, people are getting allergies. And allergies come either environment or what you have put in your system. Because the food itself is antibiotic resistant. We hear that it's causing infertility. We hear that it causes this, it causes that. But because they say we prove it scientifically, and you don't have any evidence, you have to settle on the allergies.
Executive Director of Free Your Mind Movement, an NGO, Yao Poku Dankwa. Meanwhile, the President of the Forum for Former Members of Parliament, Kofi Kedem, says the views being espoused by the NGO seem sensible. However, the forum will hold audience with proponents with contrary views on the bill to ensure that advisory work to Parliament is balanced.
We are convinced, except that that is rushing. Now what we want to do is we are going to invite some other experts who support the bill to come and prefer before we take a decision on the bill.
They are former members of parliament. At the end of the day, the law will lie with the current members of parliament. Do you think you have enough influence to either halt it or see the bill through?
No, it's not a matter of having influence or not having influence. What we are doing is purely this is our view on the bill. Then the committee will look at it. Whether they accept it or not, that is not the issue. We have done our duty. We are giving them our view on the bill. It is up to them to accept it or reject it. Then we decide. So we have even suspended the discussion on the bill until we hear the other side.
That was the president of the Forum for Former Members of Parliament, Kofi Kedem, talking to Augustus Akwe.
The Conference of Heads of Assisted Senior High School Chairs has identified lack of funding in senior high schools as the cause of some heads charging above the approved fees. The president of Chairs, Samuel Oforiaje, stated that though some heads have made mistakes in the course of the implementation of some policies, they also face daunting challenges on a daily basis, especially with the limited resources they have to work with. Mr. Oforiaje, who made this known at a news conference in Accra, said heads of senior high schools are ready to partner government for the provision of quality education. A report by Naomi Komi and Presla Appiah.
The unavailability of basic teaching and learning materials, Mr. Oforiaje said, has made it difficult for teachers to perform their duties. He cited some constraints faced by schools. He mentioned unpaid absorbed fees and delays in forwarding feeding grants as some of the difficulties being faced in some senior high schools. Mr. Oforiaje explained further some of the challenges.
Funding of senior high schools has been under some stress for some time now. Two major sources. One is the fees we collect from students, whether they are day students or boarders. So depending on where you belong, you will know what to pay. The second one is governance fees for all senior high schools in the country. If you bring together adolescents between the ages of about 14 and 18, depending on when they entered school, or some are 19 and even 20, under one roof you may have, in extreme cases, 3,000 students, some on the average 1,500. You can imagine the enormity of the financial stress that heads and other leaders of such schools go through. Fees may not be paid on time because parents may have constraints in paying. So sometimes it is at the tail end. And yet, school activities will have to begin from the very first day schools reopen.
Touching on some media publications accusing heads of schools of charging exorbitant fees, Mr. Oforiaje said heads of second cycle institutions have an important role of educating and shaping the future leaders of the country and therefore need the respect and dignity of the public.
We want to agree as a leadership of conference that the disorderly conduct of some of our members, though they may be with good intentions, is objectionable and no doubt should not be countenanced. The feedback from the field indicates that some of them did not envisage this backlash, but with what has been made known, most of them have regretted their actions. In the course of doing this, sometimes there may be some infractions, but looking at it holistically, we be fair. Sometimes we describe in heads that they are all thieves. It brings us to a level whether it is worth dying, especially those who are doing the right thing. And I don't believe, I stand for correction anyway, I don't believe that all the almost 600 members of our association can be found to be involved in the things that are being said.
He called on the Ministry of Education and the Ghana Education Service to review the computerized placement system since the placement lists are not released early enough for the first years to be admitted to schools. They also appealed to GES to come out early with the approved fees before the beginning of the academic year. Mr. Oforiaje apologized on behalf of some heads who may have erred in one way or the other.
Naomi Komi and Prince Lafia filed that report.
Public tertiary institutions in the country are to be connected to one platform with the use of the internet. The move is to provide students with easy access to the internet to enhance their research work. The Minister of Communications, Dr. Edward Omani Bwama, who disclosed this to Radio Ghana that government has invested massively in the area of ICT and expects more in return. The minister noted that government has made adequate plans for those in the informal sector to benefit from the opportunities that ICT offers. He announced that the second phase of deploying community information centers will be completed in the first quarter of this year.
Under the World Bank project eGhana, there's a tertiary institutions access network project which is being done for some public tertiary institutions in the country. University of Ghana is one of them. University of Education, Winneba, is another. UCC falls into it. Some other techniques and some other teacher training colleges. The process has taken place at the level of evaluating it. It's going to cost us a few millions of dollars. The aim is to connect these institutions to the internet so that research, studies and all that can be enhanced. If you look beyond the former institutions, also within the community, there's a project that we have, which is the deployment of the community information centers. Last year, we constructed 16 of these community information centers. If you look at a place like the Ashanti region, Kuntunase was one of the beneficiaries. If you look at the Volta region, Mepe was one of the beneficiaries. You look at the Eastern region, the Abri area, one of the beneficiaries. You look at the Upper East, Zibila, one of the beneficiaries. And 16 of these were completed last year. What these centers do is that we do admit that not all of our youth are in the educational system. And so the informal sector too, they also must benefit from the opportunities that ICT and telecommunication offer. These community information centers are being manned by people who have been trained through money provided from the Ghana Investment Fund for Electronic Communication. And you get there, you are trained, you'll be able to use the internet and all that because all these facilities are available. Our intention is to provide 35. So far, funding has been made available for 20 of these to be rolled out from next week. And so within the first quarter of the year, we are commencing 20. Some of the beneficiary areas will include, if you look at the Upper West region, Lambushe, an area like Nandom, areas around Wechiao will benefit from this. In the Northern region, Sanargu, if you look at Upper East, Talensi, Nabdam, if you look at Eastern region, the Achimansa area, Asujaman, in Greater Accra region, Bife will also benefit from this. Of course, the challenge has to do with situating the area so close that the sea erosion and all that is taking place is not going to affect them. In the central region, an area like Kifuprasso will also benefit. Western region, Bodi, Volta region, Bator will benefit, Keta will also benefit, and all that. Brahafu, Techiman area will also benefit from this. If you look at Ashanti region, Brobonso will also benefit from this. These are ways of ensuring that we take ICT and telecommunication directly to the doorsteps of the people.
Dr. Omoni Buama said his ministry is collaborating with the judicial service to allow appeal court judges deliver judgments via video conferencing.
What the CJ, that the Chief Justice, intends to do is that appeal court judges have been going out into the regions and hearing cases. They spend about 3 to 4 days to hear the cases, and then on the fifth day they read judgments and all that. They can spend much more time hearing more cases, get back to Accra and deliver the judgment from Accra via video conferencing facilities, which is why we are collaborating.
I mean, with all these provisions that you've put in place, which in terms of the quality, can same be said about the quality? Networking challenges, network failures here and there, can same be said?
In terms of the quality, can it be made better? It's a yes. Yes, 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 and yes. And that is why we continue through the National Communications Authority to engage the telecommunication companies to ensure that they are able to improve upon their services. One of the complaints that we had previously had to do with unit theft. NCA engage the telecommunication companies and make sure that these days when the person has made a call, you are able to give them a brief account statement.
Minister of Communications, Dr. Omoni Buama.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra and the major stories. Ghana Burkina Faso Port Health Center at Hamle lacks personnel to scrutinize entry of animals and people into the country. Government reacts to CJA's concerns. DCE for Ahafo North South, Gabriel Berima, apologizes over his chair outburst. AU targets improved and sustained agriculture. And 2013 Kwame Nkrumah Scientific Award winners receive $100,000 each. We are back after this break.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. President John Dramani Mahama has nominated the following as Metropolitan, Municipal and District Chief Executives in accordance with Article 2431 of the 1992 Constitution and Section 21 of the Local Government Act 1993, Act 462. They are Alhaji Idi Manza Mahama Kumbungu, Daniel Osei Asantiachim North, and John Nuruddin Ahotu Adan East.
The District Chief Executive for Ahafo North South, Gabriel Berima, has conveyed his deepest regret over his unfortunate outburst at a gathering of health workers in his district a couple of weeks ago. In a statement, Mr. Berima also reiterated his earlier apology to government, the chiefs and people of Ahafo North South, and all Ghanaians who have been offended by his outburst. The DC at a ceremony of health workers in the district was alleged to have reacted angrily to one of his listeners who he considers a derogatory remark.
The media have often focused on governmental issues to the detriment of social and pro-poor issues. This is far from the media's mandate of acting as a link between the government and the public. The media also dwell so much on official sources and fail to do follow-ups. These and many other issues were concerns raised at a consultation meeting between Star Ghana and some media personnel in Accra. We bring you the details.
Star Ghana, an NGO, seeks to address the need to increase civil society and media collaboration as well as enhance transparent governance. Participants noted that there's an identity crisis in the media, especially where both the public and private television stations show almost the same programs, and questioned why the state media cannot do social stories which matter to the people. They added that the media must be creative, do a lot of research, and gather more information on issues. There were also concerns about issues affecting rural areas and said media polarization tends to affect its role of protecting the common rights of the people. A special committee of Star Ghana, which moderated the discussion, said the expectation of the media is that they should be innovative in information gathering so as to bring out the truth instead of the slanted information given by politicians and public figures.
And that was the Newsdex report. The FIPA Drivers, Sand and Stone Contractors Association have threatened a sit-down strike in protest against government's new directives on axle loading. By their directives, the permissible axle load for 6 axle trucks is 60 tons, 18 tons for 2 axles, 27 tons for 3 axles and 38 tons for 4 axles. According to the association, the new directives, which comes into effect today, will compel members to load just a quarter a bucket full of their trucks, which is not acceptable to clients. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the chairman of the association, Anthony Agbamahia, asked members to put on red armbands and fly the red flag, signifying their desperation and seriousness for a listening ear from government.
The reasons why we are backing on the sit-down strike is this. Per the directives of the minister, the road and highways minister, our trucks are already excess of what he is saying. And with that, we cannot work. So we are advising our drivers to stop going to work. Instead of, we are foreseeing danger that they will go and that they will arrest them. For that matter, we are advising them to sit down on the first. But as of today, all the drivers are putting on red banner to show that we are not happy with whatever is going on. One, we could see that the government is trying to get us out of our job. And for that matter, with the red banner, we have started mourning. And in fact, we will mourn and then fast and pray for 1 week for authorities or the president to come in. Because we have nowhere to go. And they shouldn't think it will affect we, the cheaper truck drivers, alone. It will affect the whole economy. We are telling them they should have a second look. And they should call us so that we'll sit down at the round table. We tell them the practical effect that it is having on us at our sandpit. They are starving us. We will die. We have families. So they should reconsider and take a second look at the directives.
One of the drivers, Ezekiel Badu, complained about police harassment even before the new directive is operationalized. He described the new directives as unreasonable since existing axle-load trucks are government-approved.
The Adakulayinbe Mutual Health Insurance Scheme Manager, Evans Ray Bonayandi, has been arraigned before an Accra Fast High Court on charges of forgery and stealing. Mr. Yandi faces 7 counts of forgery of document and 30 counts of stealing. He has pleaded not guilty to all the 37 charges.
In his quest to use agriculture to fast-track the developmental agenda of the African continent, the 22nd Ordinary Session of Heads of State and Government has declared 2014 a year of agriculture and food security as part of the 10th anniversary of the adoption of the Comprehensive Africa Agriculture Development Program. They noted that the continent's agriculture has recently been performing well as agricultural GDP grew on the average by 4% since 2003. Despite the growth records, Africa still remains the most food insecure continent, with a quarter of its population categorized as malnourished.
One of our flagship programs aimed at achieving agricultural transformation in Africa, and this is the time to celebrate the progress made over the past decade in implementing the goals and objectives set by CADIP and renew our commitment to do more in the coming years and decades. In this regard, I am indeed very pleased to note that more and more countries are allocating 10% and higher of their national budget to the agricultural sector. The transformation of agriculture holds the key to the success of our collective efforts to realize our vision.
That was immediate past chairperson of the AU and Prime Minister of Ethiopia, Haile Mariam Desalegn.
African heads of state and government have immortalized the late South African President Nelson Mandela by naming the main conference hall of the AU headquarters in Addis Ababa after him. Nelson Mandela was a South African anti-apartheid revolutionary, politician, activist, lawyer, and philanthropist who served as president of South Africa from 1994 to 1999. The former South African president died on the 5th of December at the age of 95 after a protracted illness. The African heads of state paid glowing tribute to the man, Nelson Mandela. In a statement, the South African president, Jacob Zuma, expressed gratitude to the AU for the gesture in recognition of the father of South Africa, Nelson Mandela.
We are taking the floor to express our gratitude to the African Union, to all of you, Your Excellencies, for the important gesture you made today in recognition of our former President Nelson Mandela. By this honor, you have made Madiba's name to be placed among the most prominent names of the greatest sons and daughters of our continent. We also thank you for standing by us in the true spirit of African solidarity during the struggle to mourn with us and join us when we laid Madiba to his final resting place.
The AU also presented a check of $100,000 each to the winners of the 2013 Kwame Nkrumah Scientific Awards.
Not when the news domain points again. There are currently only 2 trained environmental health and meat inspectors at the Hamile Port Health Center, which monitors the entry of animals and people in and out of the country through the Upper West Region. The Deputy Environmental Health and Meat Inspector in charge of the facility, Amin Idrisu, told Radio Ghana that apart from inadequate resources, the port is also in a deplorable state. And the District Chief Executive for Anode South, Gabriel Berema, has apologized over his unfortunate outburst at the gathering of health workers in his district a couple of weeks ago. In a statement, Mr. Berema also reiterated his earlier apology to government, the chiefs and people of Ahafo Anode South, and all Ghanaians who have been offended by his outburst. The news was presented by Lily Defoe
and Baba.